give Helen kind of the baptism by fire. They're switching all those songs and they're having to find them on the fly, which is a little bit harder than what it might sound. I want to turn your attention tonight to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 12. And verse number 1. And if you'd read it with me. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My subject tonight is taken from verse number 2. I want to title this simply, Locked In. Locked In. We're going to pray and then I'll explain the picture. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll enable me to speak it, Lord, to share it tonight. Lord, I pray that it will speak to each one of us. I pray, Lord, that you will challenge us and, Lord, that you will bring us closer to you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. I came across the picture that you see. And, you know, I just kind of stopped up to try to imagine how he got to where he was. Ever been walking through Fairview? And you're walking along minding your own business and somebody is coming along and they got their eyes on their phone instead of where they're going. And so you mostly avoid them, but they still manage to hit you a little bit. And then they look at you like it's your fault. Like, really? Do you have to be like that? And I looked at this picture and I don't know if it really has ever happened. I imagine it has. But it seemed to me that this business guy just got so locked into his phone that he didn't realize where he was walking. He was locked in. He really needed someone beside him to be walking there and to take him by the arm and guide him. Just like Jesus does to you to keep you out of some of your messes. I was thinking, along with this, I was thinking about flying. Maybe because I'm going to be flying in a month or so, and I was thinking about it. I'm not a white-knuckle flyer. I don't mind flying too much. But I was doing some reading about the systems that they have. Because did you ever wonder how in a sky where there are no, I mean, there's no lines. Do you ever think about that? There are no lines. There are no roads. You don't follow a road. And I know with GPS now, it makes it simpler for them. But I was thinking about that. How do you find that little speck of an airport in a huge metropolis? And how do you get lined up so that when you're coming in, you're not wobbling all over the place like a student driver going down the highway? How do you get locked in? And I was reading about the systems that they have. And that along with GPS, they even have auto land systems. And that as they're coming in, that the computers make all kinds of measurements and the ground computers communicate with the computers on the airline and or on the airplane, and they get them in the right position and they make sure that they're at the right height, at the right distance out. And I thought, Lord, I'm really glad about that. except for when my computer locks up. You know how that goes? You're in the middle of something and it just locks. But it was amazing. But they said that they still require a human hand at the ready. Even though some of the big planes will pretty much land themselves. The life of faith. If we're going to be successful in it, demands a lock-in to the exclusion of other things. The life of faith, if we're going to be successful, demands that just as that airplane has to lock in, and just as this guy was locked in on the wrong thing, that I need to lock in my life, my focus, my view on Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote the book of Hebrews, put it this way. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's some things that I just want to touch on tonight. Just a few little lessons I saw from this. The first one is that getting started well helps you to end well. The way we begin our relationship with Jesus often forms a pattern of how we will continue in our relationship with Jesus. The best start is when I give my heart to the Lord, that it's an all-in kind of relationship. A start that has no backup plan for failure. A start that has no contingency plan if things don't go as I think they should. The kind of start in our relationship with God that when I made that commitment to Jesus to say, I'm going to follow you, that is, I'm not looking back. I'm not looking sideways, but I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I am all in. The challenge with that is that we need to continue after our beginning of a relationship to continue that all-in kind of relationship with Jesus. You know, when my wife and I decided that we were going to get married, I got to tell you, it wasn't, well, you know, I'm going to think about this. It wasn't, well, you know, we were engaged for 6 months. It wasn't, well, you know, if somebody else comes along and, you know, catches my eye, maybe, you know, I got 6 months here. Because I can tell you, if that was the way it was, first of all, whether I wanted there to be or not, there wouldn't have been a wedding. It just wouldn't have happened. But to be successful in a marriage, to be successful in whatever we put our hand to do, you've got to learn to be all in. You know, you can't say, well, marry me, and then, you know, but just in case, I'm going to keep my old girlfriend's number in my phone. Like, come on now, you can't do that. Not cool, brother. And sisters, if you keep the old guy's phone number around and you're texting him all the time, that's not cool either. Because for it to work, you got to be all in. It's like, I don't have another plan. I don't, you know, we were having a conversation out in the entryway, I think it was Wednesday night, about marriage and about finances and that sort of thing. And, you know, really, when you go into marriage, you got to go in all in. But in our culture, there's always that thing in the back of the mind about what if it doesn't work out. But let me tell you, as a believer, when you approach a relationship like that, you don't approach it, what if it doesn't work? You approach it as, I'm all in. This is what God has for me. And I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure it's what God wants it to be. All in. All in. Paul had a statement of faith in Philippians chapter 3. And the New Living reads like this in verse 13. He said, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. He's speaking of reaching his goal. But he said, but I focus on this one thing. If you ever read Paul's sort of autobiographies that he writes about how many things he had. But then he says, but all of these things, I count them as nothing. He could have went back to what he was before, but he said, there is no going back. There is no turning around. And brothers and sisters, to be successful as a Christian, it means that I've got to make up my mind. I can't be wishy-washy about it. I can't be one day I'm going to serve the Lord and the next day I'm going to do something else. But I've got to make up my mind that it's all or nothing. I'm in all the way because I'm focused on Jesus. Focused on Jesus. He said, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. Now everybody has a past. And you can't change your past. But you can certainly make a difference in your present and in your future. He said, I'm forgetting the past. That doesn't mean that he couldn't remember. It meant he chose not to dwell on it. You know, one thing the enemy will try to get you to do is to dwell on every mistake, every failure, everything that has happened bad in your life in the past. I know that sometimes we have to go back and deal with things so that we can move forward. But you can't dwell on them. You can't stay there. And you know, here's another trick of the devil. He puts a different tint on your past after you're saved. You know, when a person comes to the Lord, they repent of their sins and they start to walk with the Lord, they're saying, I'm done with sin. I'm done with the old way because it's been miserable. It's been ruining me. I've got heartache after heartache. I'm needing to be done with all that. And they begin to walk with the Lord. And you know what the devil does? He puts, you ever see those round glasses that kind of look rose-colored? He kind of puts those on a person's view. And they begin to look back and say, well, you know, that wasn't so bad. But it's then that we need to remind ourselves, I'm all in. I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. But he said, I am looking forward to what lies ahead. I can't change the past. There's nothing I can do about it. So I'm not going to get down about it. I'm not going to get wrapped up in it. But I am going to look forward. I may have failed in the past, but I'm looking forward because now it's me and Jesus. And with him, I can do anything. So we're moving forward here. He said, I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach. Notice that I press on. There's sometimes in your life of faith that all you're doing is pressing on. Hey, can I get a witness about that? Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? There's sometimes that it seems like the angels are singing around your head. You're driving in your car and the angels are singing. But there are other times when there's no angels singing. There's sometimes when it feels like the presence of God is right there. And there are other times it's like, whoa, I can't find him. There's sometimes everything goes your way. And everything is working just the way you want it to. But then there are other times it's like, dear Lord, please help me. Because if another thing goes wrong. Hey, anybody been there? Come on, you been there? And it's in those times that you come to that pressing on. I may not see anything happening right now. What are you doing? I'm pressing on. I might not be getting the answer to my prayer that I wanted right now. But what are you doing? I'm pressing on. The enemy's fighting you with everything he's got. And it seems like God is silent. What are you doing? I'm pressing. I'm pressing on. Because I can't go back. And if I don't keep pressing, I'm going to step backward. And so I'm pressing on because God is on my side. So I keep on pressing on. There's sometimes all you can do is keep on pressing on. What do? I do the things I know to do. Hey, I'm preaching to people who know the Lord tonight. What do? I just keep doing the things I know to do. I keep pressing on. I keep praying. because I'm pressing on. I keep reading my Bible because I'm pressing on. I keep going to church because, hey, when I'm pressing on, I need to get in church more than ever before. Because when I got nothing going on around me and it seems like all I'm doing is just pressing with all my might, I need to get together with God's people and begin to sing something to God and see God's blessing around me. Because I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. He said, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Pressing on. Pressing on. You might be here tonight. You say, Pastor, I feel like my prayers aren't going higher than the ceiling. Keep pressing on. Say, there's been things come up in my life and I just don't know what to do. Keep pressing on. Because you see, it's a life of faith, not feeling. And when you keep pressing on, it says, God, I don't know how this is going to work. I may be like Job. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Remember Job? He lost everything. He lost his health. He's on an ash heap scraping his boils with a piece of broken pottery. I mean, he couldn't even afford a knife. He's got a broken piece of pottery. He's scraping himself. And he says, but I know that my Redeemer lives. Did Job complain while he was pressing on? Oh, you read the book of Job. You know, sometimes people make Job something he wasn't. I don't want to get sidetracked here. I want to keep focused because I'm preaching about focus. But sometimes we look at Job and say, how amazing, he never complained. He did complain. You read the book of Job. He said, it's better for a man the day of his death than the day of his birth. He said, God, I look everywhere and I can't see you. Do you remember that at one time God had to come down and say, hey, Job, where were you when I made the earth? Pressing on doesn't mean I have to like it. But pressing on says, God, I trust you enough to know that if I keep pressing on, I'm not just going to keep on pressing on, but I'm going to press on through. Because what you see, sometimes the reason we don't get the breakthrough that we need is because when God's saying, keep pressing on, we say, I'm just going to back off a little bit. But it's when you keep pressing on that you come to press through. And it's that breakthrough that eludes us when we fail to press on. Pressing on, staying focused, locked in on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 in the New International. It's our text tonight. He said, in the New International, he put it this way, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What is that word, fix? That means glued. That means, you know, when farmers would use horses, they would put blinders on them. And the blinders would keep the horses from getting distracted. There's little black flaps that went on either side of their head. And it would keep them from getting distracted so that they were looking wherever the reins were pointing them. That's where they were looking. And I've come to preach to you tonight that when I get my eyes fixed on Jesus, I'm not looking in the dirt. You know, there are some people that like to look in the dirt. I'm not looking at everything that's around me. But I've got my eyes fixed on Him. And you know, life goes a whole lot better when we lock in on Jesus because you see, where Jesus leads me, the old song said, where He leads me, I will follow all the way. And when I'm locked in on Jesus, I learn to follow him. And the things that are around me that could distract me aren't distracting me anymore because I'm locked in on Jesus. I went a while back and got a vision test. I'm highly competitive. And so I went in and they have the machines and, you know, I can tell you that, first of all, they have the one that shines a little pinpoint of light in different places and, you know, you have to press when you see it. Has anybody, you done that one? You press when you see it? If you haven't done it already, you will. Don't worry. It'll get there. I'm competitive. I guess I approach it like I got to win. And so I'm looking at this, you know, they have your head, you know, you're right up against that thing and you're looking in there and it's kind of white and then there's these little tiny pinpoints of light. And every time it shines, you have to press the button. Well, I'm competitive because I know that no doubt my daughters are going to be there sometime and I've got to get more than they do. Because that's just the way it is. I am competitive. And I just am competitive. And Rebecca thinks she beat me, but she didn't. I'm competitive that way. And so I've got my head in the little thing that they got there for your head. And she says, you ready to go? And it's, you'd think it was the start of the Indianapolis 500. I'm ready. And then it's not fair because I'm focusing in the middle. And I had to learn to, you know, I had to refocus. Because you'd think they'd put the light in the middle, but they didn't. They put it way over to the side. And then there were, sometimes I was pressing the button and there was no light. You know, Brother Kimmel, it's like piling up points on an arcade game. It's like, because I passed, so I can still drive and all. But the problem was one of focus. I really wasn't sure, and I know the whole thing is about checking your vision off the sides and all that, but you know, being the competitive me, I wasn't sure exactly where I should be focusing on, and then I learned that I really just had to kind of let it go. Sometimes we try to live our lives so that I'm all over the place. And that I see everything. And so I get easily distracted. But he said, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That means locked in. The definition of locked in is not subject to adjustment, it's fixed. Tonight, there's such an importance in our lives to see Jesus. To see Jesus in his word when you read it. And to understand that the word is not just so that you can read a textbook, but it shows you Jesus. To see Jesus in our lives. To know that God is at work in me, and sometimes he's more at work in me when I think he's not doing anything. To know that God's at work within my life. That when I come to worship, I'm locked in on Jesus. I know, you know, we all have our favorite styles of music. We all have our favorite songs. We all have our preferences. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can get so locked in on our preferences that we miss Jesus in the middle of it all. You know, there were two guys that were walking along a road after the resurrection. they're walking along a road and Jesus appears and steps out and walks with them. And they begin to tell him about Jesus and about all the things that had happened and how they said he's resurrected, but we're going home. And Jesus was walking right along beside him. Now, they were disciples of Jesus. Somehow, they had been around Jesus before. But Jesus is walking with them, and they missed him. And sometimes, if you got your focus on other things, Jesus is walking alongside you, and you can miss him because you're seeing everything else. In their case, their minds were saying, Jesus, we don't know if he resurrected or not. It sounds too good to be true. And there are sometimes you can talk yourself out of the presence of Jesus in your life because you've got some kind of preconceived idea of what it's got to be. And instead of being locked in on Jesus, we're locked in on everything else. And so we come to worship and we sing the songs, but we never think about what we're singing. And we try to get on key, but we never think that really it's about Jesus in the middle of it all. And when I'm singing, he's a way maker. I'm not just singing about I need something from God. I'm singing that he is the one who can do something in my life. Or if I go in the other direction and musically and I'm singing how great thou art, it's a reminder, not just Lord bless me, but how great God is around me. Sometimes we can miss Jesus. We can miss Jesus in our prayer. When our prayer becomes a recitation of the things that are wrong in my life instead of a conversation with the King. We miss Jesus. In our troubles, I mentioned this morning that we all have giants, that there all are things in our, every one of us have things in our lives that we face from time to time that are bigger than we are. Sometimes we can see the giant instead of Jesus. We can see the problem instead of the problem solver. We can become so wrapped up in what's wrong that we can't see the one who is right. And we lose our lock-in on Jesus. Sometimes it's our confusion. You know, sometimes life is confusing. Sometimes you make plans and they turn out nowhere near like what you thought they would. Sometimes I've met people, I'm not quite like this, but I've met people who have, they have a whole strategic plan for their life all the way through. And the problem is that life doesn't always cooperate. And you thought you'd be over here and you're over here. And it can be confusing if you're not locked in on Jesus. Because the Bible writer said, he knows the way that I take. He knows where I am. The writer of Psalms said that our times are in his hands. And if you get your focus off of Jesus and onto the confusion that's around you or that swirls in your life, then somehow or other you lose your way. But it's realizing that in the middle of my confusion, Jesus is never confused. When I'm frustrated and I don't know what to do, I can look to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, where our text is from, was written to people who were going through unbelievable persecution. Many had given up their houses, their belongings had been confiscated, some had been beaten. Some had people close to them who had died. And as he writes, remember that in the original, there were no chapters, and so he goes from Hebrews 11 where he's writing about all these people who've trusted God. And then he says, there's something we need to understand. That is that we look unto Jesus. that if you're going to make it, you see, sometimes we think we have a corner on trouble. That in the 21st century that, well, we have more trouble, more things than anybody else. But you know what? That's not true. You see, those early Christians he was writing to, they could be thrown in jail. They could have their home taken away. Some of them did. Some of them were martyred for the faith. And how do you let them burn you at the stake and sing a hymn while they're doing it? Because that's what they did. And it wasn't just adults. It was teenagers and kids. They would take them and tie them up, and all they had to do to get out of it was to deny Jesus. That's all they had to do. And as the flames would be lit, you can read about it in historical books, as the flames would begin to swirl up around them, they would begin to sing songs of praise to Jesus. How do you do that? You see, that's stressful. That's painful. That's frustrating. And that's scary. But if you've got your eyes fixed on Jesus and you're locked into him, there's something that says the trouble in this present life is not worthy to be compared with what is yet to come, because I see not only what's going on around me, but I see what is yet to come. Jesus is there for me. He's worth it. He's worth it. Making up our minds with no time for distraction. See, it's quite often not the big things that throw people and cause them to lose their focus. It's little things. Sometimes it's people. You know, even Christians aren't perfect. That's why he lets you and I be part of his church. That's why. So when you get to think and you're perfect, realize you're not all that. He takes imperfect people. And you can get so tangled up in what people say or what people do or don't do that you can lose sight of Jesus yourself. And if you lose sight of Jesus, you can't help others get to Jesus. You see, a huge part of ministry, and every believer has a ministry, a huge part of that is before I can help others and serve others, I've got to see Jesus myself first. Because my goal is not to bring them to me. My goal is to bring them to Jesus. And if I can't see Jesus, and if my life is off track, how can I bring people to see Jesus like they need to? Maybe sometimes the distraction of making money. Nothing wrong with making money unless money has you. Or fun. And there's nothing wrong with having fun. Until it becomes a distraction from Jesus. And I get too preoccupied to recognize Jesus in my life. I get too busy to go to church. I get too distracted to hear the voice of God as he speaks in my life. The enemy delights in throwing distractions at you. Today, a huge issue in our culture is distracted driving. I was driving down the highway the other day, and there was an SUV ahead of us that was just all over the place. And sure enough, when we went past, the lady that was driving it had her phone in her hand, not paying any attention to where she was going. And that's what the enemy tries to do to you. Because the Bible teaches us that he's not your friend. He's your adversary. He's going to spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. And he's just mean enough and just selfish enough that he doesn't want you to go to heaven if he's got to go there. So he attempts to distract you from your focus on Jesus. And as we stand together tonight, do you know Satan even tried to distract Jesus? When he came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, those temptations represented things that we go through in our lives that we're tempted by. But they were also, particularly the last two, were also detours away from the cross. Bow down and worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You don't need to go to the cross. I'll make it easy. Distractions. And if he would attempt to distract Jesus, how much more will he attempt to distract you? But Jesus was locked in on what he came to do. You know, I think I've got one more statement on there, I think. And it's this, that running well in the boring middle gets you to where you need to go. You know, there's going to come a day when we get to heaven and we're in the presence of Jesus. And you're going to be so focused. You make it over there, you're going to be so focused on Jesus, nothing else is going to matter. But running well down here. You see, when you first come to know the Lord, there's the excitement of first coming to know the Lord and the newness of it all. But then you come to that part of life where I've been serving the Lord and it's easy to lose focus in the middle, to be distracted. Tonight, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me. We're going to pray because I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Father, I pray you'll speak into every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will challenge us right now. Lord, because sometimes we do get distracted and sometimes we do let other things get before you in our lives. Lord, sometimes even without meaning to. Lord, without realizing what's happening, we just get distracted. Lord, I pray tonight that you would challenge every one of us. Lord, if we've allowed, Lord, things to become more important than you, challenge us tonight. Lord, if we've allowed people to become more important than you, challenge us tonight. Lord, if we've let our own laziness sidetrack us from our focus on you, challenge us about it tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see you in our everyday lives. Lord, to be focused on you, to see where you lead, where you guide, and what you want. And Lord, I pray this now in Jesus' name. Lord, move among us now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I'm going to ask you just, if you would, just for a moment. We're going to have a prayer time here at the front in a moment. But would you just lift your hands? And here's all I want you to say is, Lord, speak to me tonight. Lord, speak to me tonight. Speak to me tonight. Lord, let your voice be heard in my life. Speak to me tonight. Lord, if I've been distracted, speak to me. Lord, if I've been focused, Lord, help me to improve my focus. Speak to me tonight. Speak to me tonight. Challenge us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, the Holy Ghost is moving through this place right now. Mm. Mm. Mm.